Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3. Good morning. It's the Breakfast Huddle with Elliot Danker and Ryan Huang. It's time now for Why It Matters. You'll remember this incident back in March where this giant container ship Ever Given got wedged in the Suez Canal, blocking all traffic on the waterway for about, 6 days, if I remember correctly. Effectively, it blocked approximately 12% of global trade. Can you believe that's the kind of damage it did? The Suez Canal, of course, sees more than 50 ships carrying more than $9 billion worth of goods a day pass through on average. This was based on data from 2020. And the incident does highlight some of the risks of global trade. I mean, well, while the ship has been freed, the knock-on impact in global trade will be profound. The obstruction at the Suez Canal is still causing a bit of a backlog in vessels, which is leading to delays in all the various schedules at various port destinations around the world. And ultimately, this will lead to delays in goods to retailers and, of course, the end consumer. And with online retail at an all-time high, that's going to be a problem. What do businesses have to start considering here? And should they start to rethink how their global supply chain should be handled? Well, on the line to give us some perspective is James Christopher, President Asia at TMX. James, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Elliot, and thanks for having me.
What a graphic and highly talked about scenario back in March, that giant ship Ever Given getting wedged in the Suez Canal. I mean, in terms of as a wake-up call, what are your thoughts on that incident?
Well, yeah, wasn't it ever a wake-up call to the global supply chain and really highlighted what was already a strained system off the back of the pandemic and, people sitting at home and buying more and more. So it really highlighted how interconnected today's global shipping is and how just one incident can really alter the course of shipping for months and months to come.
Mm. James, TMX is a business transformation consultancy and you guys specialize in digital and supply chain solutions. Bit of a two-part question here. What have you guys seen in terms of COVID-19's impact on global supply chain and the need to digitalize, and then reference that with the incident at the Suez Canal? I mean, are we at good enough a place? Are we advancing? Are we digitalizing enough where global supply chain is concerned?
We're absolutely heading down a digitalization path. More and more, you need more visibility across your entire supply chain. And the only way you can do that is via digitalizing and getting better visibility across every element. Be it a manufacturer where you need to understand where every nut and bolt is supplied from, to finished products to allow you to make sure that you can deliver to your customer in a timely manner and make sure that you're the seller uphold your end of the bargain. So, yeah, absolutely, digitalization is becoming key. And by using that data, you can really make sure that if there is an incident like the Suez Canal where the ship got struck, you can make decisions real time and for the best for your company.
Will this ultimately result in minimizing loss? I mean, it sounds like no matter what, you're going to have some loss. Is it a case of trying to make sure it's as little as possible?
Absolutely, it's trying to make sure as little as possible. But it's also making sure that you've got diversification of your suppliers. You can be agile to change where your suppliers come from. So if you can't get something out of Asia, can you get it out of somewhere else in the world?
Yeah.
Or do you, hold more inventory in the final location to make sure that you can still serve those customers? And that's what we're working with a lot of our customers on in the region at the moment. It's not so much Asia to Europe, it's where's the best place to put my distribution centre in Asia? Is it Malaysia? Is it Singapore? Is it Hong Kong? Is it Vietnam? And that's where a lot of our work is at the moment.
Mm, ultimately, that can also create jobs. James, I'm curious, it's been a couple of months now since the Suez Canal incident. Where are we at in terms of supply chain recovery from that incident?
Look, it seems that most shipping has gone back to what had become the new normal. But shipping was already well and truly constrained. There's been a fierce resurgence in trade after the pandemic and that initial panic, or not after the pandemic, but after the initial panic of the pandemic wore off a little bit. So, there was already a huge constraint on trade. Ships are waiting out the front of Singapore between 5 and 7 days just because the sailing schedules aren't right, and usually that's about 2 days. So it's still not back to normal, but it's not necessarily just because of the Suez Canal. It's all the other, you know, constrained global supply chain effects building up on top of each other.
You talked about earlier how a strategy in terms of how you can better utilize supply chain, perhaps putting your logistics in different parts of the world and different modes of transport as well. But after this Suez Canal incident, where are we at in terms of businesses trying to rethink their supply chain strategies?
Look, I think the pandemic's definitely made everyone think about supply chain, and supply chain's now a word that, you know, everyone knows about. I think what has occurred is everyone has now been able to take a bit of a deep breath and think, okay, what's next? What's my next 5 or 10 years look like? And that's what we're assisting a lot of customers with at the moment, trying to work through what that strategy looks like to get that visibility, that diversification, and that agility built into your supply chain. And in many cases, that, you know, means involving more automation and involving more big data. You know, even just trying to utilize your container cubage better, so, you know, reduces your costs within the supply chain is one of the key things customers are asking for at the moment.
Right. Are there challenges worth highlighting in terms of companies trying to digitalize or companies perhaps reluctant to change in that sense?
Well, the biggest challenge is the change management, the change of training, the type of people that you need to be able to run programs like this and head towards that digitalisation. You know, no longer is it a completely unskilled job where you're just packing boxes into a container. There's a lot more IT, mechanical engineering, if you've got automation, things like that. So it's a change in skill set of the workforce that we're seeing, and that's going to be probably one of the biggest constraints over the next 5 years or so, is just that catch up to make sure that people are trained and can actually do these jobs as digitalization and automation become far more of a thing.
Yeah, there's always talk about the lack of talent where these digital jobs or digital-based jobs are concerned. You're saying the challenge is, this is a challenge we'll be facing in the next 5 years. Are we picking up at fast enough a pace? Do you expect us to get on the better end of talent management by that time?
Oh, look, I think it's now forefront of everyone's mind.
Right.
So as a result, there's now investment across the board, you know, within companies to make sure that, you know, they are starting down that journey. And it can be a fairly long and complicated journey, especially when you've got, you know, huge growth numbers and things like that, particularly in an e-commerce sense. So, yeah, it really is a journey that needs to start as soon as possible to allow it to make sure that you utilize, you know, the data you have once you have it.
Yeah, for sure. An investment in time as well. Speaking of time, I do want to talk about this just-in-time supply chain model, something that was popularized by Toyota. So it basically involves making sure that parts are received as close as possible to when they are actually needed. And with regard to the challenges we're facing in supply chain, is it time for us to rethink this model, to stop using it perhaps?
I don't know if it's stop using it, but it's more make sure that it's a balance that needs to be struck. And, yeah, again, it comes back to that visibility across all elements, you know, making sure that one minor supplier that you've never heard of way up your supply chain doesn't interrupt you and the entire production of, say, motor vehicles, for example. So, yeah, it's really coming back to that visibility to make sure that you understand where it is. And, yeah, if as a result of that visibility you need to hold more stock in wherever you're manufacturing or assembling your equipment, that would be where you would need to look at maybe not being quite as just in time as you once were.
I mean, from a very primitive point of view, because I'm no inventory expert, but the first thing I would do is hoard supplies. Now, that is not necessarily a good strategy, right?
No, absolutely not, because if nothing else, you've got a lot of cash just sitting on your balance sheet, not going out to customers, so, which is not good for any business, as we all know. So, yeah, it's really trying to find that fine balance across every element and making sure that balance is as close to right as you can make it.
Yeah, and just to reinforce what we've been talking about, it really all comes down to the data that helps you make that calculated decision in that sense.
Yeah, it's becoming increasingly all about the data and making those decisions really, really quickly.
I've been speaking with James Christopher, President Asia at TMX. James, appreciate your time this morning. Take care and stay safe.
Thanks for having me, Elliot.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO.
Available on Google Play or the App Store.